So Chazal came up with a fascinating halacha that on Shabbos, putting a kli into a situation whereby it will become, we're going to make up a new verb, muksified, that you're going to place muks on it in a way that it will not be able to be moved, is also because you're being mevatel the kli meichon, the kli can no longer be used, so you're, and as Rashi actually says two different explanations what the problem is. One Rashi says is because it functions like soiser. It's a destruction of the kli. The kli becomes unusable. You can't move it around, etc. So in some way you've done soiser. And the one place Rashi says the problem is bonet, because you're attaching the kli to the ground. Because the kli can't be moved, it's as if that you attached it to its place. So Chazal asked her, so taking a kli on Shabbos, you have some of the oil dripping out. The oil is muksa, because it was designated before Shabbos for the purpose of being lit in the nair. So you mark your das on that oil. So now the oil goes into the kli, and you put the kli there to hold the oil, so the kli will become muksa as well. And here you are on Shabbos making the kli limited from its original hachana. But you can put it there before Shabbos. But the shem which does come out on Shabbos, even though you can put the kli there beforehand and fill up with this oil, that oil which came out on Shabbos, I mean, you may not use because the oil is muksa. But the issue is you're about to kli meichono on Shabbos, because that's either burn or soiser on Shabbos. Putting it before Shabbos is not a problem. Okay, that's one thought. Ramoy adds a new thought.
So why would that be any less soiser? Because once Shabbos comes, it's the same status as if you put it there during Shabbos.
It could be reversed. Because it wasn't there.
The Irving, the pasha, your question is now it's a groma. Why put a kli? So theoretically, let's say you live in the promised soiser. So before Shabbos, I put a kli in a place where a very large thing is going to fall out on Shabbos and smash it. Okay, I wasn't soiser a kli on Shabbos. The stira happened by itself. Right? If I put a kli in such a way that some glue is going to fall down from and glue it to the ground and be burned, also, that's nothing to do with me. So only as long as I put it there before Shabbos, I'm good to go. The Kiddush of the round on Shabbos, even though there is element of groma, because I'm not actually, as it were, putting the oil into it. I'm just putting it there, and then the oil falls in on its own. But because since that's why you're putting it there, so we can't deal with it just as a plain groma and say, I didn't do soiser, the oil did the soiser. So the Kiddush is more the problem, that the Kiddush is why it's also on Shabbos. But before Shabbos, it's clearly mutter, because it's not worse than any other situation. You're setting up something before Shabbos, which happens on Shabbos.
Memela. What if this is a kli whose sole purpose is to collect the oil on Shabbos?
It would probably be muksa before you started. If that's what its function was, and that was designated for that, so it would probably be muksa like a kli to start with. Okay. What were you saying?
My question was just since it's not irreversible for our Shabbos, because Benish Mashos, the kli does not put it in the oil, and now you put it there on Shabbos. So it's not irreversible. Could be. In fact, I think he's going to say that if it could be removed immediately, it's okay. And theoretically, a goy could. You could ask the goy to remove it, remove the shemit from it. So why is it considered so severe? It's potentially just a very, very, very temporary, not for Shabbos.
Well, okay, Okay, it's a good question. Let's go back a step. The fact that you can remove it before the oil falls in it is another way of saying that it's a groma. It's not b'yadayim, but I'm not planning to remove it before.
That's not what I meant.
You've
asked a
goy
to remove the oil. In other words, since it was.
So that's when you can't ask a goy to move a muksa unless you have a valid purpose. So if you would need the kli, theoretically you could ask the goy to move it.
Okay, that was just an example.
Right.
If it's considered like a graf shavu'i. So other examples, the oil is a special problem anyway because you were concerned that you're not going to be able to remove the oil because there, and then we have the problem of, you might use it, but that's sort of zero, but he's going to use another example where I guess it's like it's a graf shavu'i, but you can remove it immediately.
So in those cases are mutter.
Right.
And if you put it in such a way, the Gemara says, you put it in such a way that you can move it afterwards, there's no bitul klimei chanos, it's not a problem, it's a mutter.
But it's also the issue Lawton raised that muksa, isn't muksa normally determined at Yash Mashas? So how does this become muksa on Shabbos?
So that's not 100% correct. That muksa is the muksa is, that's how should we say it? Muksa that remains muksa even when it's not muksa anymore is determined by Benish Moshes.
I think the chumra is determined by Benish Moshes, but it can become muksa on Shabbos.
In other words, there's a din of muksa that even after the haksa ends, it's still muksa.
Right.
That depends on Benish Moshes.
Okay.
Because when it's in a state of haksa, the actual haksa, that's nothing to do with Benish Moshes. So it can become muksa in the middle of Shabbos. Let's say, for example, you have, let's say, the case of a food item, the example of burgers and smukim, right? So when they go through the drying process, they actually become inedible for a period of time, so they're muksa. So the Gemara talks about if I left my burgers and smukim were dry at the beginning of Shabbos, they were edible. I left them outside and a rain came down and they became inedible, and then a very strong sun came out and they became edible again. So we hold ein muksa l'chatzi Shabbos, which Rashi says it means that once it dries out again, it's mutter to move it. Doesn't mean that while they're inedible, they're mutter to move, because it's an edible item is taka muksa. Right? But if it had been inedible at the beginning of Shabbos, even if it got dried out on Shabbos, it would be usher to move. So, but if I'm being m'yach, this is a basis to hold the oil, so as long as the oil's in it, it's going to be muksa. If the oil would then be removed, like Lawton's question, then it would become non-muksa since it happened on Shabbos. Had it happened in Shmoshes, that wouldn't help removing it later on. Okay, now the Ramah moves on to another point. So many times you have an oil lamp which was hanging, a chandelier type of, was hanging. So she can't touch it. There's no iser of muksa of touching. Muksa is not an iser of touching. Muksa is an iser of moving. So just touching muksa in general is not a problem. Scenario which would I want a car is muksa. I can touch a car. It's not a problem. We come back also, but over here it's also pen. It's not accessible. But over here, the chances are that there's going to be some movements when you touch it. And then you're moving the oil. And then we get involved in this issue of moving the oil, either acts as a form of kibui or a form of mavir. So Mishabura says, well, why don't you tell me if you move the oils and you're back to square one, it's a problem moving muksa. Saying you can't, you ought to touch muksa, but you can't, this is just moving muksa, but you can't touch something which is hanging because it might move. And it'll cause stop right there. Before you get the and it will cause, you can't move muksa. So if you're afraid that it's going to move, so Mishabura will deal with that. Okay, so let's see Mishabura over here. So cut in the hay, the kabel shaman. Abu mutter lost tachas ner shal shava ishal kalev, but to put it under a candle is permitted. Why is he putting it there? Shachas shama yipol biyaldik masha tachtov, meniach sham kli shipol ala kli. So I'm putting it there to catch if the in case the candle falls, instead of landing on my wooden bookcase and burning my bookcase, it'll land in this metal kli, whatever it is, and just stay there and go out. Instead of setting the whole house on fire, it'll go into the kli. That's my goal. Now, so why is that mutter? The chara, it's potentially the same bittul kli me'achonoi as the oil. V'atam, umitam. The kim of the evsher, lanar miyad, ha'isra mitecha kli, k'mashe kosev simen resh ayin zayin. That over there, I can immediately, as soon as it lands, I could tilt the kli and let it roll out from the kli into somewhere else, and then it will not be with the kli meichonoi. So this is a gemara. The gemara says this. The gemara deals with a case where an animal arrived on Shabbos, carrying a packs on the animal's back, which had delicate, the Gemara says, what do? You can't leave the animal, even all the things inside are muksa, because of the problem with Tarbal Chayim, so you're not going to leave the animal with this pack on his back the whole Shabbos. So you loosen the straps and let it fall down to the ground. The Gemara says, that's very nice if what's inside is not fragile. But when inside is klis chukas, which will be fragile, what are you going to do? The Gemara says, you'll put down some cushions underneath. The Gemara says, that's great. Because as soon as this muksa glass item falls onto the cushion, it's mitzvah kli meichonoi. The Gemara says no, because as soon as it lands on the cushion, you can tilt the cushion up and let it land on the ground. So the cushion will never stay for any length of time in the state of mitzvah kli meichonoi. So that's mutter. So that's the Gemara says it. So the Mishnah Berurah, similar day over here, when this candle falls into the kli, I can then tilt the kli and let the candle fall out. But at least it's a controlled fall now, where it's going, as opposed to it going onto somewhere which would be dangerous. But I can immediately tilt it out. Well, the dharma of the shaman. So what? Well, say the by the shaman. Now, the point over there, shaman writes a lot. Lanara, I don't want to pour out the shaman. I want to hold on to the shaman. Okay. Now. Well, the Hamid Kli Tachas Apechem Shabarosh Apsilo Shiyipol Lesoicho is Osir. There's something you'd have. You'd have this. The wick would turn into charcoal. Large. You'd have large tufts of the fibers would become this big pieces of charcoal. So I want to catch that. Is Osir. That's also welcome hefset, unless you're talking about a case where there would be potentially some type of damage, hefset, etc. Babagav shalakar shakabu yokal anarum in a kli. So when they fall in, they're still lit many times. When they go out, you can't just tilt these things out, because that will cause them to go out directly. As opposed to the candle, which will, moving it, tilting out gently, will not make it go out any more than where it was. But these things are very delicate. It's a piece of the wick, like, which is on fire, flies off into the kli. But once it goes out, it's mutter. So we see this requirement of being able to tilt it out immediately is immediate. So I can't shake it off immediately, because right now it's still lit. So that for those moments, it's basically meichana, which is us.
And the candle you'd be able to do right away?
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
And that wouldn't be a proper maver, or?
I mean, no, it wouldn't be maver. Or the child may be mechaber.
I mean, you think you're trying to...
Okay, miyad doesn't mean that, you're quickly, in a great jerk, you throw it somewhere. It means you gently tilt it out. But there's no waiting period. You can gently tilt it out.
Right, I would think by gently tilt the candle,
a reasonable chance of putting up by chance is probably not a problem. It's not obsecration. It's not obsecration. That's what Dr. Shor said. It's a reasonable chance. Reasonable chance is not obsecration. Reuven. Okay. So you mean about kli mechana? So you mukha mitkila. The kli was originally mukha l'taltoloi. It was prepared to be able to move it. Now it becomes usher to move due to the fact the shemen is in it. Shu muksa machmas iser, which that iser is muksa machmas iser. Kosher kosher b'simin reish ayin tes. Also about the kli meichanoi, they should dar mekilu seiser a kli umeshabra. It's equivalent of breaking the kli, and the bir aloch over here brings the Rashi. And this has the point of the Rashi in Perek Misha Hikshik actually says that problem of a serious kli. The Rashi in Lafim Beis says Meneshu Kekmei Alim Mokum Mechaber Betid Bedomin LaMalacha. Rashi seems that the problem is the other end of the spectrum is attaching it and it's boina. Then he brings the just I guess we're looking at the Bir Alacha already. He just continues this even kli Shemalat Liyisur. Which is, has a limited heter of tiltal, is still usur, because it goes from limited heter of tiltal to no tiltal. So that also be a problem. If in the kli there's something else as well, then mutul hanicha tachos anir lekabel b'hashem. And so the fact that the oil is going in is not going to make it mavutal, lo yochol letatal agav heter. So then you would be allowed to continue to move the kli because you're saying you're moving the kli to move the heter which is in it, not the iser. Now, being metaltal, a kli for the heter shaboy when there's also iser shaboy has limitations. It says if you meet that criteria, so then there would be no problem with the kli mechonot. So one eitzah would be to put heter into the kli. Other eitzah here is custom b'tshubas maril. V'eskimi imoy amogan avram. They also kli me b'ayoyim tachas l'shulchan. So you can put the kli there in place already. You didn't move the kli at all. You just moved the table, which is in between where the ner is and the kli. After who garim b'shabbos about the kli meichal ayir they are service hashulchan. You're not doing a direct act in the kli. Even in the case where you put it under the ner, you're not doing a direct act in the kli of putting the oil in because the oil drips on its own. But putting it there to catch the oil, it's you're setting it up. You're doing an action to set it up for that problem. That's problematic. There's no problem putting a kli on the table, which oil might just drip into if that's not what your kavana is. So we're here, my goal is to get the table out of the way, that the oil shouldn't fall on the table. So my goal is not to put the oil into the kli, so I'm not mechavim for that. So that we're not, therefore, for this isser, the rabbanon, he's not mechavim for that purpose, because al dinah. So the kavana is, the isser is only if a person intentionally, his goal is to move out of the kli. Or put the thing in there, which would be about the shemen anoitiv itself. But we're not saying that the oil is not muksa. The oil definitely is muksa. Now, if he put it there and the mice and nothing dripped into it, we don't argue. So listen, you were maxitically. You put it in a place where intending that oil will go into it and therefore become useless. So you have now decided to take this thing out of usage, so it's muksa. So even if the oil never goes into the kli is muksa. So that's not true. Just mokshav of alma, you can't make the kli muksa. Vayir Rabbi Kosev dimnotam Hashem in the soichem in b'yoyim miskayim machshav to shechosh b'leah mikri al yedeizeh kli shemalat al yisur al bishim. So we put it there before Shabbos, even later on the oil spilled out of it, it remains muksa. So now he calls it klitzim latalisa. So what in the world is he talking about? It's not klitzim latalisa, it's a full muksa. So the answer is, you're talking about a case where you remove the oil, I'm sorry, the oil spilled out on its own before Shabbos. So here this person went before Shabbos and said, you know what, I want to catch all that oil, which is muksa. So I want to catch all that oil. So I'm putting this kli there for that purpose. So that kli is mutter to do that, but its function is to do something which you can't afterwards do anything with the oil. So you be'etzem made the kli a malach to le'issa for that Shabbos. So therefore, if the oil falls into it, then it wasn't just machshava, it was a ma'isa. Then the oil spills out before Shabbos, so it's not muksa because of the oil, because there's no oil in it when Shabbos came. But it was a klishim lach to le'issa because you designated for the function of holding the oil. He says, I'll give you another example. A person designates a kli to hold the coins. So he designates it for the purpose of holding the coins, which is, it's a bosis, but it's a klishim lach to le'issa. He designates it for, that's its function, that's its purpose. And then the coins fell out before Shabbos. So he did not intentionally remove its designation. I mean, as much as you can designate it before, you can take away the designation. But he didn't take away the designation because that wasn't done by Kavanah. So it remains a kli with some yuchel le'issa and muksa. Vayim prima gadim.
So in what sense is this extra? In what sense is having modes on the table doing malacha with the table?
So it wouldn't be so much on the table if you Rabbi Meyachah the table for the purpose of holding the coins, and that's intended for an innocent purpose.
What's the use of purpose?
Its goal is to hold coins.
What's the malacha of holding coins?
You know, it's not a question of malacha. I've designated for that, for this purpose, which I'm not allowed to do on Shabbos. Klish malach to le'issa, so the problem is, what is designated for? Something I can't do anything with. So I've removed my das from planning to do anything with it on Shabbos. That's what muksa is. Muksa is I take out of my das. I don't plan to use pencils on Shabbos because pencils function is to write. So I'm basically mak the das from pencils. So if I designated to hold muksa, which I cannot move, and I can't do anything with the kli, I've been makes my das from the kli. That's a kli shem lata l'isr. So now, if it's holding the muksa, so it's a bosses, etc. But the chiddush over here is, even though I've taken away the bosses problem, but since I've designated this thing, its job is to hold muksa, which means therefore I can't move it, that designation makes it that it's a maksa das from it.
And so, is it kli shem lata l'isr, right? So,
Basi is the klishim lata l'isser. Basi is actually a shayla whether it's a din basi or a klishim lata l'isser. It's not so partial that there is. It's a shayla in prima gada, which we discussed in Simen Shin Ches, which is where we started the cycle from, if you remember. I don't know if you were in the shir then, were you? We started. So it's way back at the beginning of Shin Ches, like almost six years ago, when we started. Right, so that would be a question if you'd have it, but the oil is muksa machmas isser, which is a much more common type of muksa, and that would create it in a bosses. So that is this thing to be a bosses is a form of designating to be malachta for something which is prohib, which is useless on Shabbos. That's a form of klishmat isser. Then he says that. So where do you find where this concept is a Gemara by a case of there was a mita shemiyata lamos. Now I don't know why exactly I'm not picturing exactly what the mita looked like. What does it mean you're miyata mita for money, for coins? But apparently there was such a messias that you know you'd be miyata mita to hold the mos. So that would be called a normal function of a mita. So a person was miyachad this mita to hold the money on it, even if the money got removed before Shabbos. But the yichud of the mita to use it for that purpose remains so even when Shabbos starts. So it's been designated for that function. So. the Prima Gadim's question, which Mishnah Berurah says on Prima Gadim, his problem is the following. Coins are batzim muksa on Shabbos. Oil is not automatically muksa on Shabbos. Oil can be used for salads. It has a heterodic function. But the oil, which was in the Nair at the beginning of Shabbos, was meyuchad for the purpose of using it for the Nair, becomes muksa. So if the oil was in this kli only before Shabbos, and when Shabbos came, there was no oil in it, so the only oil it was used for was the oil of heter. So mehechatez is meyuchad dafka for the oil of Isser, is meyuchad for the oil of heter, and the oil of heter is hakaz heter, so how to plimel ha'ashram lach to the Isser. That's the Prima Gadim's problem. Whereas comparing it to the case of the mita shichta lemos, most batsim are a problem. There's no way to make them, unless you go and drill a hole in them and make them as a medallion that you want to wear on a necklace. But right now, there's no way to make them not muksa. Similarly, you end up with no money on this mita when Shabbos starts. But since you designate it, that's its function, is to hold money, it becomes a maklish malat alisr type of status. But that shouldn't necessarily follow through to the case of the oil. That's the Prima Gadim's problem. Let's see if we can finish the Mishnah Berurah on the sif. So you can't take the oil. Also, stop. And there, if you start with a kli which had shemen of heter, so and now the shemen of Isser fell into it on Shabbos. So what should we argue? We should argue bittul. That there's then a kama bottle. Each drop as it goes in, it's bottle because there's much more of a majority of the oil of heter than this drop of Isser. But the answer is no. The Dover Shesha Matirin, loy bottle. The Mor says, why should I rely on the din of bittul? Wait 24 hours and you can use it without bittul. The Dover Shesha Matirin, I have a way to use it by heter without relying on bittul. Wait till after Shabbos, you won't need to use bittul. So it's the Rishayish Lamatirin, which the loch is a fill of elephantly bottle. So that drop which falls in is not bottle immediately, even though there's many more times of the heter. Ryan Shomoid.
It says in Yira.
I don't think he's saying when there's a point that, as opposed to that, he's saying halach l'maisa, you know, it's questionable. You're asking it so obvious, you wouldn't say word near. I hear. It's a good question.
Maybe because it becomes a homogeneous mixture as opposed to.
Well, it's every case that the whole din of the bottle is only min b'minoy. Min b'shen b'minoy is bottle. Right, so. The whole case over here every case of Shesha Matirin, it's yayin, you know, it's an egg and eggs, it's, you know, or it's oil and oil, or whatever the scenario would be, it's so. Okay, Shabbos. You can't be mistabak on a Shabbos. So kar hooks up a shemesh ben hashmoshes, because that shemen had been designated for the nair ben hashmoshes. Even though it ends up not being used for the nair. So well, let's say now the muksa should go away. Well, that you say, since ben hashmoshes it was muksa, it's because of the kulu yom. Megama clean also betiltal ayyadeh hashemen shenasa bosses law. And therefore the kli which is designated for that purpose becomes a bosses to therefore the kli is going to be also. You can't touch the nair because it might move. And what's the problem with it moving? Well, you moved muksa. No, the problem with moving because you'll cause that the oil will either tilt away from the nair and you're doing kibui, or tilt away from the wick and doing kibui, or tilt away towards the wick and you're doing havar. Ma'ashim is that the beloi chashash atoya ain lachosh mishum iser tiltu muksa yirei hanidnu. But the fact that you're moving the muksa, that doesn't bother us. So why not? So, just the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Rami asked the question, and he answered like this. The Marish, Dabra Heter Munacholov, on this nair which was hanging, there was an item of Heter. He wants to take the kli, the item of Heter, off of the nair. So it wasn't direct tilt, that's called tilt min atzad. By moving the heter item from on top of the nair, that movement will cause the nair to move a little bit. So that's called tilta min hatzad. It wasn't a direct act of tilta. It was an indirect act of tilta, which is mutter, the tzar davar hamutter. Well, the davar hamutter over here being the item that you want to take off, which is hetter. So that's mutter.
The whole issue, the question was why havara?
The Mishnah Berurah is saying that the Rama is asking, the Ramah says, don't touch it, even though touching it is mutter, but since touching over here might move it, it's also because you're doing havara or kibbutz.
So he's explaining why.
Why are we worried about the muksa?
Yeah.
Right, you know, I said like this, it's muksa. And the issue of muksa is not to touch muksa, it's to move muksa. So we hear a lot of touching. But in general, I can touch muksa. Over here, I can't touch muksa because it might move. So you just told me because you can't move muksa. Like, well, and by the way, there's a cause of havara. That's why forget about the havara part. You can't move muksa. There says no, I could move the muksa. Over here, I'm doing it. Tilta min hatzad, tzar davar hamutter. Therefore, he says, I will legal by mamish. But to move in there, even if it's, you're touching it directly, something which is hanging by touching it is going to cause it to move. So forget about the iser. There's no nair in it. But the menorah is klishma not the iser, so it's also to move muksa. So I can't touch it directly. Period. The example later on, the example says the case of an egg which is be'ash anolda. So be'ash anolda, the nature of a be'ah is that you touch it, it moves. A car. You can touch a car because cars don't necessarily move by your touching them. V'yat Hashem el psila b'yiskay mishum avar kasher yirachayu yiskay mishum mechava. Mamisim reishtayin zayin sef gimel the nir shel shay b'lo chashin l'zeh. So this problem is by an oil lamp, by a wax candle, you don't have that problem. Now,
what problem don't you have by a wax candle?
You don't have this problem that's causing the oil to come closer or further from the wick, and it's either mechaba or mavir. Okay. Now the Bir Lach over here brings from the Or Zeruah that even by Ner Shel Shaiva he's concerned about that possibility, and he brings the Gra which also says that by Ner Shel Shaiva we're worried about that possibility because once, even though it's a wax candle, some of it does melt. That's how it works. So we have to assume that. So he says, why over here? The Gra does not argue over here. He argues later on. Over here, this is just, that wasn't your kavanah. Over there, the case was just later on, was a case where a person is intentionally trying to be mata it, so that applies to Ner Shel Shaiva as well. But the case where a person has no kavanah for that, it's not body that's going to cause anything. Whereas by an oil lamp, it's body going to cause some movement. Whereas by a wax candle, it's not body, so it's not a problem.